Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dorset Wildlife Trust podcast. This episode we're going to take you back to a gorgeous autumn day in Kincombe Meadows and you can learn exactly what it is that Kincombe Meadows has to offer for a brilliant day out.
My name is Emily Newton and my job title is Grazing Animals Officer for Dorset Wildlife Trust, and the office that I work in is just here at Kincombe Meadows called Pound Cottage, and I'm part of the West Dorset team for Dorset Wildlife Trust and actually do quite a lot of work off reserves, mostly actually kind of doing agri-environment schemes and a lot of farming and wildlife advice. So we'll work with farmers and landowners in West Dorset and give them advice on how they can best improve their land for wildlife and encourage species onto their farm or help maintain species if they're there. So that's what I do.
Hi, I'm Nick Greatpass's new advisor. Yeah, quite similar to Emily, a lot of wider countryside work. We work with farms and landowners in between the reserves, trying to link up a lot of wildlife-rich habitat. A lot of my work is restoring and recreating wildflower meadows, which is lovely.
So we've just come onto the Kincombe Meadows Reserve from Pound Cottage, which is the main car park for Kincombe Meadows. And it's signposted, obviously, with the DWT sign, Kincombe Meadows, and there's a car park around the little cottage in the middle, which is the West Dorset area office. If you want to pop in and see one of the staff there, then just do pop in. And then cross the road, and on the other side of the road, there's another big gate, and then also a footpath gate as well. And if you walk into there, you come immediately into rectangular-type field with a kind of mixture of grasses and hard rushes and soft rushes. And again, it's, you know, typically Kincombe Meadows-type grasslands and surrounded by the really excellent hedges we've got here and really old ancient trees. And yeah, so this is where we started the walk today. And here, there's obviously been quite a lot of mole activity recently. But other than the mole activity, we've got quite a lot of ant hills, which are, you know, a really kind of typical thing of unimproved pastures. And when I say unimproved pastures, it means pastures that haven't been ploughed in the last kind of 50 or more years, because it takes a good 10 to 20 to 30 years for ants to kind of build up that hummock so you can actually see it. So what we're looking at now are hummocks, basically. Some bigger than others, but it shows that the ants have had activity here for, you know, 20 to 30, 40, 50 years. And we know that it hasn't been ploughed here since the war. It's a really good indicator of unimproved pasture, pasture that hasn't been ploughed, pasture that's been fertilised and just has kind of like a really good organic matter.
So what's so special about Kincombe Meadows and the fact that it's in West Dorset?
West Dorset in particular is very renowned for its wet old woodland, which most of it's designated as a special area of conservation, which is a European designated habitat, because it's so rare on a European scale. But West Dorset, we're quite lucky, we've got quite a lot of kind of wet older woodlands, which is particularly good for lots of insect assemblages, particularly flies, and obviously the birds love it. And then you've got that kind of woodland habitat with the wet kind of rivers going through, because Alder likes to have a movement of water, so you know the river hooks are perfect for it. And obviously those kind of mix of habitats is particularly good for bats, because bats kind of like to have the woodland, and obviously there's more insect diversity if you've got water habitat there, so it's a really good hunting ground for them.
What are your favourite things to see in the Kincombe Meadows, Nick?
I do really like them, and this time of year is fantastic for little family groups, little flocks of long-tailed tits. So you start to see them moving through the they've got these big bushy hedgerows, you know, there's a lot of food for them at Kincombe. And the other thing we're sort of eagerly awaiting is the arrival of the thrushes, the red wings, field fares. They're a real sign of the season. There's an abundant fruit here at the moment, and the hawthorns, there's still a few blackberries around, guelder rose. It's it's quite a bonanza for these migratory thrushes at the moment, so we look forward to seeing big flocks of those. Same with the fruit. It's another species that Kincombe's a hotspot for is the dormouse, who just love to move through these hedgerows, sort of aerial arboreal creatures. They've got all they need at Kincombe, really. They're nesting spots, hibernating spots, food. They'd be quite happy here.
It's a fantastic crisp autumn day here while we're doing the podcast. What's it like here in Kincombe Meadows in the summer? Does everything really change?
Yeah, it is. It's So the summer is just gorgeous here because we've got hay meadows, which is just nationally kind of known. The species diversity within them is absolutely stunning. You know, they set up the hay when the grass starts growing in April, May time, and then we cut the hay late, kind of end of July, August, so that everything's had a chance to flower and seed, which is kind of very different, obviously, to a normal farming practice where they'll try and kind of cut a bit early where there's a bit more protein and food sources in the grasses. But yeah, if you come in, you know, anything from April, May, June, July is probably the best time for the hay meadows, wouldn't you say, Nick? Kind of,
I'd say very much so. I reckon the bird life on Kingcombe's severely under-recorded in the summer because everyone's just walking around looking at the ground. It's just astounding, absolutely amazing variety of species of devil's bit, scabious and knapweeds and betony. Yellow rattles, always one of the favourites for us working in meadow restoration. Yellow rattle is a lot of people know it's parasitic on grasses, so you can introduce that into a fairly standard improved grassland and it will start working away at the aggressive grasses and creating space for other wildflowers, which is great.
There's quite a lot of orchids here as well, actually. It's really good if you're interested in orchids to come at the different times of year. We've got bee orchid up on the chalk, southern marsh orchids, obviously they're common spotted and early purple and pyramidal. There's lizard orchids. And there's a few more which I can't quite remember, but yeah, it is particularly good for orchids here as well. But in the summer, the damselflies and things down on the River Hook are absolutely stunning, and the butterflies, we get just marbled whites and common blue and the chalk hill blue, and it's really is quite stunning. We've just come to one of the kind of old green lanes that are on Kingcombe. This one is coming off Mount Pleasant Lane, and it's quite a thick kind of double head. It's a lovely old ancient oak tree, which has got to be over 100 years old easily. But it's got a lovely bit of beefsteak fungus growing off it, which Nick points out.
But it's a fantastic species. It's just quite rare, by all accounts, and you cut into it, and it does, if it, apparently at the peak of its condition, it does actually bleed like a steak, and it was really meaty inside, quite a character of the funky world, I think. But the one of the most amazing things about Kingcombe, well, notable, is the waxcap fungi, which we had a walk last week and found a good sort of six or seven species, and again a sign of unimproved pasture, sort of undisturbed ground, and the fantastic colours on them, and the wax cap, the name comes from, they're really waxy to touch, really lovely sort of shiny little fungi. And Emily, you were talking about the ballerina.
Oh yeah, we've got a particularly rare wax cap here called the ballerina wax cap, or the real name is the pink wax cap. It's called the ballerina wax cap because as the cap kind of opens, it splits and kind of goes up like a ballerina skirt, and it's slightly pink to look at, which is really, really beautiful. But as you say, the wax caps are a beautiful kind of fungi species because they are so colourful. You get scarlet ones and crimson ones and lots of different yellow species. You get kind of a citronella wax cap. Yeah, there's some wax caps here called, they've got the blackening wax cap, which starts off red and then goes really black, and the parrot wax cap, which is like green and looks really, really yucky actually, but it's kind of slimy green, but beautiful when you look at it up close. I mean, Kingcombe is one of, it's, you know, if you're into fungi, people know Kingcombe for its fungi interest, and there was a number of courses run at the Kingcombe Centre by a guy called John Wright, who writes some of the River Cottage handbooks, and he's done the one on fungi and the seashore foraging, but he runs weekend courses and day courses here on identifying fungi and which ones you can eat, which ones you can't. It's quite, always quite scary about how many will actually make you a bit ill or kill you. And we do have the death cap here, so if you do come to Kingcombe looking for fungi, be very, very careful about what you eat. It's very dangerous.
You'd be strong to resist the beefsteak fungi, though. And the other thing about Kingcombe is how integral the grazing livestock are for the management, because that's something we end up talking with farmers in the wider countryside a lot, is maintenance of grassland. You know, grazing livestock is crucial to that, and you'll happen upon some belted Galloways or a ruby red Devon or two, and yeah, it's Emily knows a lot more about this than I do, but it's just really good to see it as a relatively working landscape as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have a look at the cows in a minute and the sheep and stuff, but it's really nice that we're lucky enough to own our own stock here, because we've got the buildings to have cattle and sheep here. It's important that we have our own animals, because it's very difficult to do the specific kind of tailored conservation grazing that this kind of habitat needs. It's nice that we've got the flexibility with our own animals, really. So we've come up to kind of the business end of things now at Kingcombe, I would say. and we've just kind of walked down from Cliff Farm or Lower Kingcombe Meadows Farm, where the animals are housed over winter and where the sheep are brought in to lamb. And we're going to move one of the suckler herds, which we've got at Kingcombe, from some land behind the farm to some of the areas we walked through, actually, just outside Pound Cottage, where there's a bit more grass. They're kind of better adapted for the grasses we've got here, because we've got kind of very old grasses, old traditional meadows and pastures. Traditional breeds at Lower Kingcombe Meadows, because they do well on it, they won't lose condition.
And as we said before, the cattle grazing through the summer does create all these different niches in the ground. They want to have their say now, but I can't believe we haven't mentioned it already, but one of the highlights surely of a visit to Kingcombe is famous corky fruited water dropwort. Try saying that after a few pints of cider. It's one of our flagship species here. Lovely little flower, looks a bit like pignut. It's a big favourite of the wild boar too.
So yeah, Kingcombe Meadows, 180 odd hectares. So springtime, we've got some lovely woodlands and all the bluebells, and the dawn chorus here I can thoroughly recommend. It's absolutely deafening. It's beautiful in the springtime. But yeah, it's beautiful any time of the year. Winter, it's really frosty and lovely, and all the ice and the mist kind of sits really low here because we're in a bit of a dip, and it's quite magical coming down here in the winter. Summer, the hay meadows are just shouting with colour, it's lovely. And obviously autumn, you've got all the beautiful colours of the leaves and the field maples out here going really beautiful yellows, and all the fungi interest and the lichen interest that you can see slightly more in the autumn. It's just brilliant. But after you've done all that, the best thing to do is look down to the Kingcombe Centre that we've just merged with, and you can get tea and cake down there, or cream teas, and they do ploughmans, or you know, you can book in for a bed and breakfast, and there's a visitor centre down there telling you all about the reserve and a bit of the history, so that's really good.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Dorset Wildlife Trust podcast. You can now subscribe to us via iTunes. Just go into the iTunes store, search for Dorset Wildlife Trust. It will keep you up to date and subscribe to all our latest editions. For more information on Kingcombe Meadows, you can visit our website at www.dorsetwildlifetrust.org.uk. All the directions are on there, and it will tell you even more about the reserve. Thank you very much for listening.
It was a pleasure altogether. Cheerio.